dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. To CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, zips, zips.
Welcome, everyone, to Binary Revolution Radio. This is episode 159, and this is the DEF CON wrap-up, seeing how DEF CON was this past weekend. And that's kind of a tradition on the Binary Revolution Radio. And today we have a co-host who's been on the show before, Mr. Low-Tech Mystic. And he is our engineer for the night because I don't know how to work these computer machines. And he and I did not go to DEF CON, so we found the guy that did, and he's the third host of the show, Mr. Verbal. Say hello.
Hi, how's it going?
This is the fourth season of Binary Revolution Radio, and we're kind of switching things up this season because no one has time to, per se, record the show every week. So be prepared to listen to me ramble on and on and on, trying to stall for time. But anyway, I didn't get to go to DEF CON this year, and Mr. Low-Tech and I are starting up a little business, and we don't exactly have paychecks. So to be financially stable enough to get his ass over there this year, and he's going to talk about stuff for us today. And Mr. Verbal, you've been to DEF CON before, right?
Yes, I was there for the past 3 years when it was at the Alexis. And this
I went
year,
last year.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So as I was saying, this year they moved it to the Riviera, and it's definitely a bigger venue, and they actually definitely had more people come. This year I think there was about 6,000 to 7,000 people who showed up. And they actually ran out of the badges for this year, and they had to start giving people badges from last year, like crappy little like pieces of cardboard they printed, you know, like whatever they can steal off from. I don't know. But it was crazy. There was people everywhere.
That is awesome. So I imagine there were some hijinks with people forging badges, right?
I actually didn't see too many of that. Actually, so let me talk about the badges a little bit. If you know or saw someone who went there, then you'll know that their badge this year has a little circuit on it, and there are two LEDs who are they're the eyes for a smiley face. And on the back there's a button, and if you press it, they would light up. And then if you press it again, and again, there were several, like, different styles of blinking that were involved. And a lot of people ended up hacking that. And that ended up being a contest. It was pretty cool. I think one guy made his into a blowtorch. So if you, like, pressed it, then, like, flames would come out. And some other people did some other very neat things with it, too.
That is awesome. So you're going to put your badge up on eBay and see if you can sell it to somebody?
No, I don't think so. I'll probably get like $5 for it. But no, I actually got into a habit, as with most people, I assume, of keeping my badges, you know, just as a souvenir.
I think Mr. Low-Tech has a collection of them hanging from the ceiling fan in his room.
Yeah, like you always see people who go to the cons who like wear all the badges they had, and the, you know, the neck has like 12 of them, and like they're wearing like a shirt from DEF CON 1. So, you know, I guess it has sentimental value for some people.
We went to Birmingham a few weeks ago, or not Birmingham, Huntsville, Alabama, to visit the people over at Digium. And in Mark Spencer's house, he has his collection of badges. And, like, I thought I had a lot. But this guy doesn't just, you know, he's not going to the little hacker cons. He's going to the professional hoity-toity cons. And he
right.
has the largest collection of badges I've ever seen. It's massive.
Does he have a separate room for them?
No, but he doesn't have a separate room for them. But his house is decorated like a nerd would truly decorate a house. There's a big clock made of motherboards, and it's really cool.
Nice.
My wife would make me have a separate room for all my computer stuff, as she's done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's another story. Well, I went to DEF CON last year, and we had to wait out in the sun and the heat, you know, 30, 40 minutes to go and see a talk. And that was one of the things they were trying to fix with moving to the Riviera. How are the lines this year?
Well, actually, so the lines were pretty good overall, but in the beginning, so it starts at about 10, and on the first day on Friday, I went down there and I was going to get a badge, so I got there late the night before I was there. And there's a corridor where all the rooms are for the talks, and then at the end of that corridor is the start of, like, the Capture the Flag area and the registration area and the vendor area. And that corridor, I got there about 10:30, and that place was seriously a clusterfuck. And I was like, oh, my God, it's going to end up being last year all over again, except slightly air-conditioned. But as it turns out, they had told the fire department or the fire marshal that the con started at 10, and they had misheard them and thought 12 or something like that. So instead of coming at 9, they came at 11. So they had to push the con back 2 hours. And then everyone was just kind of, like, wedged in, like, the main corridor, people trying to get in and, like, to get their badges and people trying to come out because, like, you know, half the people knew what was going on and half of them didn't. So aside from that, though, there are definitely no lines like the one you had to wait for in the tent. Like, remember that? It was, like,
yeah.
The third track. And they barely had AC, and you had to wait outside. There was none of that. Everything was indoors, and it was much, much nicer. You know, there were actually rooms, like, hang out in the halls, and you didn't have to always be moving. And actually, this is the first year that I stayed at the hotel where the con was happening. And, you know, if you're going or thinking about going, definitely try to get a room at the hotel. It is much easier. Because the last couple of years, I stayed at, like, the Sahara, which is all the way
there last year.
Right. And it's all, as you know, it's all the way at the other side of the strip. And I was like, oh, I'll just take the monorail. It can't be that bad. So granted, you don't have to walk that much, but, like, you don't want to be outside in Vegas in August at all. So, you know, if you stay there, then you can just stay inside for the whole day, and then if you go out at night, it's much better.
Yeah.
Now, how were the rooms there? I remember last episode they were talking about the rooms at Hotel Pennsylvania. How were the rooms at this one?
Oh, it's actually not bad. I mean, the rooms are definitely better than, like, the Sahara. And it's actually pretty cheap, too. So I registered decently early, and Friday, the room was, like, you know, like, $80, and then Saturday, Thursday, the room was, like, $80, and then Friday and Saturday, the room was, like, $92. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's comparable to any other place that's on the strip.
Did you go to the BinRev meetup?
Actually, I did not. So Upside Down was there, and he went. And he said it was pretty cool. Like, they just went to the food court because I think we were going to go to the buffet. I'm not sure what happened to that. But he said, you know, like, most of the BinRev people came and they were just kind of, like, sitting in their own, like, tables because it was, like, a food court. And Stank was trying to, like, go around and, like, get people talking and stuff. But overall, it was pretty good, I think, is what he said. I actually had I had some other friends there from, like, you know, from real life, and I ended up having dinner with them instead. But, I heard...
real life.
Huh?
What's real life?
Did you see any titties?
You know, the thing you do when you wake up to when you come home.
Good deal. Well, enough of this idle chit-chat. How were the talks?
Oh, yeah. So, actually, there were a bunch of good talks this and like, you know, I would look at the schedule and I would say, like, okay, make a mental list of the talks I want to go to. And there were usually only about 3 or 4 that I was, like, really interested in. But this year, the quality of talks is definitely much higher. Actually, I should probably highlight some of the ones I went to. So on Friday, I'm just going to go through it. On Friday at 10, like, the first talk, the Atlas, who was actually the leader of the winning team, the captain of the winning team for Capture the Flag, talk on how he got into hacking and, you know, like, the stuff that he did when he first, you know, wanted to, like, look at how OSs work and, like, look at exploits and stuff. And, you know, it was basically going through the tools he developed and, like, pitfalls that he had and, like, what techniques he used to start exploiting software and just kind of get into it. So definitely that was good. And then the one after that, I actually stayed in that room for a while, was a talk called Remote Pair Programming and Test-Driven Development Using Open Source. That, I actually just stayed in there because it was just right after and I was, like, checking my email or something. But that ended up being a really good talk. And it was about, you know, using open source software such as, like, BNC and, you know, just, like, Skype or whatever they had to do pair programming. And, like, I guess that's part of the extreme programming paradigm, you know, and how they would make really good software with two people who were, you know, not physically at the same location. And, you know, in addition to that, he just kind of went on about how to write good code. So if, you know, you're interested in coding and kind of, like, adopting some new methodologies, maybe, you know, you're not doing things exactly, you know, the best way, I definitely think, like, going through that talk, you know, will be a good thing for you. And the other one, actually, is this panel they had. It was called Internet Wars. And what it was is they had a panel of, I think, about 6 people. And there were 4 feds, Dan Kaminsky, which is who does the Black Ops talks, and this other guy, Gotti, and I can't pronounce his last name. He's this big Russian guy. And they were talking about, like, how people like the Russian mob and, like, other organized crime people would use the internet and use technologies such as botnets, phishing, spamming, and all that stuff to make money and, like, basically to steal your money and, like, what the government was doing to prevent that. I mean, that was also very good and very interesting because normally you don't really get a chance to, you know, see all this stuff because it's not in the news or maybe, you know, you don't follow, like, the mainstream computer security news or whatever. You know, it's nice to just kind of have that presented to you and say, okay, this is what's going on in the world today.
I went and saw Lance James and Lucky 225 talk about phishing at ShmooCon.
I actually didn't go to that one.
But it was very interesting, you're right, with, you know, what's going on behind the scenes, things that we don't see every day.
Right. Yeah, you know, like they told you, but, like, they couldn't really give you any specifics, like the numbers of, like, you know, people doing such and such or, like, you know, how many botnets are there and, like, how big they are. But, you know, like, you get the idea of what's going on in the world, you know, on a very large scale for people who are not just using, you know, these cool hacker things to, like, play around and the like, but actually using them for committing organized crime and all that stuff.
Yeah. Totally awesome stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I was
we're reverting to the 80s.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, I was saying, there's just so many, like, much, much better talks on, like, things. Well, I mean, things that I personally am more interested in anyway. But, so there's also Strom's talk. Strom actually did 2 talks at DEF CON this year. One he had was about hacking the FedEx Kinko cards. They're actually, like, for those who don't know, the Kinko's card is actually a smart card. And, you know, he found, he basically reverse engineered it, and he found out what information is stored on the card and how you can manipulate that and, you know, change, for example, the dollar value or, like, the kind of card it is. There are special cards, like, you know, an employee card or whatever, and how you can mess with it. And that was very interesting. And, you know, just basically, I lost my place, but that's okay. And I think, actually, that was it for that day. I don't know, Drew, if you have anything you want to add or any reactions to what I said.
I don't know. I'm just, it's different when you're doing the show because you'll start talking, and I'm just listening to you like I'm listening to you on my iPod.
Oh.
And I'm not even thinking about stuff to ask you. I'm just enjoying listening to the show.
Okay, all right, so I'll just keep talking because I didn't know if I was, like,
I'm a really bad radio host. you're the show today, buddy. You just keep talking.
All right, I'm just going to keep going then. Fuck you guys.
That's the motto.
All right, so I'm going to, if you're not sufficiently bored, I'm just going to highlight a couple other talks, and then we can talk about some other stuff. So every year, Dan Kaminsky, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, but he does this talk called Black Ops. And it's basically, you know, he's a security researcher, and each year he presents cool shit that he does, you know, on his own. Like, he used to work for Avaya, and then he's worked for Cisco and all that stuff, and now he does Docs Power Research, and he's doing some really cool stuff. Like, for example, last year, if you were there, actually, so you were there, Droops. Did you remember Dan Kaminsky's talk?
I didn't actually attend that talk. I wish I had.
Okay. Yeah, last year he did a whole thing with DNS and basically just, like, all the cool shit you can do with DNS and export it and abuse it just to do some really nice stuff. And this year he had kind of a wider variety of topics that he talked about. And so I'm just going to go through some of them. And the main thing he started off with is kind of like looking at the state of SSL usage today, because like SSL and TLS is kind of like the de facto standard for, you know, the internet e-commerce sites and like all of that stuff. You know, if you want a quote unquote secure connection, then like that's what you use. So he just kind of like pointed out the various flaws in the deployment of SSL and kind of like how you can, you know, exploit certain things that people would do, and maybe they didn't set it up right, or just kind of, basic vulnerabilities that are actually in the protocol itself. So if you want to look at the slides, you know, because I'm not going to repeat the talk and go into it. But that was really cool. And he actually spent the rest of the talk on something that I don't have too much experience with. But it was like reverse engineering hex dumps and like binaries and stuff, and how you can use certain analysis protocols and like programs and techniques that traditionally hasn't been used for this kind of stuff, but how he applied it and kind of found out some very interesting things he can do with it. So one of the things he did is that he would, like, compare a program, like, against itself and, like, compare it with other programs, and he would make this 2D graph where if, like, two programs or, like, a program with itself is similar, then it would make, like, a dot on the graph. So you end up, you know, so you basically just throw these two binary files, or, you know, the one binary file into this program, and you get a graph, and you would see these little, like, clusters of things that were interesting. So you would see, like, you know, for example, a diagonal line would be, like, if two programs were exactly the same, and, you know, if, like, there would be, like, boxes of dots and, like, different shapes of dots, that would mean, like, okay, this section of the program is self-contained, or, like, if, you know, one section of the program would refer to another one a lot, and then you can tell all these cool things. So this is, you know, like, he just kind of started doing that, and kind of just brought that out and saying, like, okay, so what we need now is kind of, like, a way to, you know, know, figure out what these things mean. Like, okay, what exactly does having, you know, like a rectangle here mean? Or like, what exactly does having like a line that like does like little bumps here mean or whatever? So just kind of like a new way to do that that I think could actually go somewhere, you know? So that was really cool. And so there, okay, so I won't spend the whole time talking about talk, but there is another.
No, I'm really interested in the talks, actually, because I missed them.
Okay. I'll just go through a couple more. There was one that Stank and I went to about covert channels in V6 and in IPv6 and ICMPv6. And he basically, I mean, it wasn't like technically too interesting, but the application is pretty cool. He kind of just like kind of took the IPv6 header and the ICMPv6 header to see where he can hide data, you know, that and still have routers looking at it or whatever analysis tool people would be using, you know, to still think it was a legitimate packet that was being sent on the V6 network. So, you know, he showed like examples and code and like where he would put the data and stuff. And, you know, it's nice to see someone doing a, you know, research and like thinking about applications of V6 before it has been, you know, globally deployed. So that was really interesting too. And I think actually Spank started dozing off on that one. I'm not sure. You'll have to ask him about that. But the last one I'm going to talk about is a talk by Gadi Evron, is his last name, and now I remember. But it's called DNS Abuse Infrastructure and Games. Now, the name was kind of ambiguous, and I thought it was going to be a talk kind of like the one that Dan did last year about like abusing DNS itself to make it do cool things. But as it turns out, it was a talk about botnets and what, you know, like, you know, host users do them. That are doing with DNS to kind of enable the use of botnets. Because, you know, like, so for those of you who don't know, a botnet is basically a ton of, like, millions and, you know, millions of owned machines, and, you know, you have to control them. So there are these, like, command centers. Now, these command centers, you have to kind of get to them, right, from where you are. I mean, whether you're using Tor or whatever, but you still need to address them. So most people now are using DNS for that. And, you know, he was showing how they would abuse DNS to basically not get caught and not get their botnet shut down. So he went through examples like how, you know, they would use many different command centers and have the DNS entry expire, like, in some ridiculous amount of time, like 10 minutes or, like, 1 minute. Then, like, the command center would just kind of move, you know, every, like, 1 minute, so it would be really hard to track. Because, you know, by the time you mobilize your, like, response team and you take down that machine, they would be gone and using some other, you know, their command center. And, like, all this stuff that people were doing to keep their botnet. So, I mean, that was very interesting in the perspective of, you know, someone who's kind of, like, you know, maybe thinking about, like, doing some of that. And I think that's all the talks I'm going to talk about, because on Sunday I didn't actually go to any talks. I just ended up hanging out and, like, sitting around with Spank and, like, this and Upside Down and all of them, and not theory, and just, like, chilling because I was really tired from the night before.
That's one of my favorite parts about the con, is the social aspect of, you know, putting a name to a face.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, I met so many people there that I've been, you know, talking to online for so long, and it's just good to kind of have that chance to, like, engage in, like, a real physical conversation with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
definitely.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I think Stank has said this before, and everyone always says this, but, you know, one observation that I have going to the con is that you always see people, but I don't know what they're doing, and maybe it's, like, really important, but they just sit at, you know, some table the whole weekend looking at their laptops, and that doesn't make any sense to me, because, like, I paid all this money to go here, and, you know, I should probably go do something else that I wouldn't be doing if I'm at my room, but I guess to each his own, right? If you want to pay $100 to get in just to sit at a table and type and pay for overpriced food and $250 bottles of Coke or whatever. No, cans of Coke, excuse me.
In Vegas, $250 for a can of Coke?
Well, in the con. I mean, yeah. You can get cheaper Coke outside, but, like, I'm talking about, like, in the area where they have food next, like, the vendors, like, the hangout area with all the tables, and, like, they do some of the competitions there. A can of Coke is $2.50, which is just ridiculous. But
I ran into that last year. I was
they do that every year because it's, like, you know, I mean, like, they do it because they can, and then that's pretty much how a lot of businesses operate, but.
Yep. Like Ziggy and Logos and Ludosphere, I think, was there.
Some of us were just hanging out. And we were doing something, and I said, well, I'll go get Cokes for everybody. And it was like $20. I was like, you know, for some canned Coke. It's like, shit, I should have just brought my own Coke.
Seriously, yeah, like when you go there on Thursday night, you see all these people coming with, like, you know, their own stuff, like water and, like, food and, you know, and drinks or whatever. Like, I mean, it definitely makes sense if you drunk. You know, bring your own stuff because shit there is really expensive.
Yeah, last year we brought some Gatorade, the powder, and just bottles of water because any place will give you water, you know, just out of the sink. And then you just pour some Gatorade in it, and you've got a drink.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, man. But,
it was popular.
Yeah.
Or go ahead.
Sorry. So I was just going to say, like, they had more competitions this year, too, I think. But the competitions were definitely much better. Like, they had new stuff, like Amateur Capture the Flag, and they had this new game called the Mystery Box, which is, like, I actually didn't see most of it, but I just heard about it at the award ceremony. But it's a new game. I think it's mainly lock picking. And, like, they basically you have these boxes, and you have to try to get into them by either picking the lock or doing some other type of, you know, whatever. And everyone seemed to love it. And, like, from the description, I didn't know, like, you know, like, it didn't sound that cool to me. But when they talked about it at the award ceremonies, everyone was going nuts. So if anyone listening actually know the actual rules, please tell me because I would love to, like, know what was going on. Because
so it was a physical box, not like a computer. It was just some box.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. It was an actual, like, three-dimensional box. Well, I guess a computer is three-dimensional also. But, yes, yeah, not a computer, you know, a box to put whatever. And you had to physically break into it, like, by, you know, picking the lock, like I said, or whatever else they had to do. But everyone seemed to love that. So, you know, they always have new stuff coming. And if you were there for, like, the previous years, they had the Robot Wars. And I don't think too many people participated. But this year they had way more people participate. And, you know, it was much better. Like, the game was to have a robot autonomously shoot targets. Like, you know, so you would just kind of press start and let the robot go. And it would have to shoot down, like, 30 targets.
Airsoft, wasn't it?
Yeah. And each target had, you know, some sort of, like, identifier that, like, the camera on your robot can track. And you had to, like, write software or do whatever to, you know, have it automatically track and shoot those targets. And most of the robots did, like, fairly well. And, you know, it's not easy to make a robot, like, automatically track and shoot stuff. But, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of really, really interesting things happening there. And, you know, it was just too much, actually. I mean, to be honest, it was too much. I was walking around and, like, there are, like, three things going on at once, like, in my field of vision all the time, and I was trying to, like, you know, see what was going on, and it just ended up being too much. I definitely burned out by Sunday.
Yeah, there's definitely, you're just walking around, and you'll go into a room, and there's all this going on, and you go somewhere else, there's all this going on, and then throughout the hotel, there's all this stuff going on. You can't possibly see everything.
No, definitely not. But I did try, and that didn't work out too well. Because on the last day, I was just like, oh, man, I'm so tired. Dude, I don't even care. I I'm just going to sit here. Yeah. But no, I mean, for someone with a little more stamina than me, it's definitely, there's definitely enough to see.
Good deal. So, did y'all?
Yeah, definitely. So previous year they had the black and white ball, and this year they kind of broke it up. And on Friday night it was the black ball, and on Saturday night it was the white ball. And also, so they had these at the penthouse, which is really cool. But they also had like private parties. Well, not really private, but like parties that like specific groups through, and like some of them you need an invite, but some of them you didn't. So there's definitely more than like just one thing going on. And they had like some really good DJs and people, you know, spinning and stuff. And actually, I've never heard them before. I mean, I've heard of them, but they had the mini bosses play, and everyone was really excited about that, but I've never actually heard them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
It's some band, and it's supposed to be really good. And, like, I've heard of them, and, like, they're, you know, like, they're real, and they had them play on Saturday, I think. And, you know, like, it was a good time. And, like, I went up there, but one thing I have to warn you is that for a lot of those parties, you have to be 21. There was, like, there was this big, like, deal, because I guess the Metro went there to, like, I didn't actually see any cops, but they were saying, like, the Metro was there undercover, and they were, like, busting people for being underage and drinking. So, like, they got really uptight about it later, and they made you show your ID, like, every time you pass certain checkpoints. So if you're not 21, you know, either don't go or have some way where you can prove that you are actually over 21. Now, I'm not saying get a fake ID. I'm just saying that's what happens, and if you want to go to parties, just make sure, you know, you're 21 if you're not already somehow.
Or if you're under 21, you can always go, like, the arcade or something at the casino, right?
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good idea. I don't know. I mean, yes, Drew, you are right. You can always go to the arcade.
The arcade.
Or you can always
clean fun.
By 10.
Have your mom pick you up.
Exactly. You'll be
exactly.
Old. Maybe you can go like a parent, and you show with your mom, and then your mom says it's okay. You know, like at the movies, that would work.
Yeah.
So if you guys are under 21, try to bring your mom. I'm sure they'll let you in.
Yes, that'll always work. There's nothing makes you cooler than bringing your mom to the party.
Hey, you don't know my mom.
That's right.
You don't know my mom.
Yep. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's right. Or you can hire a prostitute who's over 21 and pretend to have that be your mom. That would also work.
That would be awesome.
That would, and, you know, once you get in there, you don't have to tell people she's your mom. You can just be like, yeah, this is my girlfriend. What? What?
This is my prostitute.
But then again, you have to get, like, the $500 together. I mean, supposedly $500. I don't actually know how much it is, but, you know, I'm just throwing a number out there.
That was something that amazed us. Like, they're in the phone book. You know, for companionship. It's very interesting there in Vegas.
That's what they call it. A date.
Yeah. A date. Oh, good deal.
Okay, Finrad is in no way advocating the use of prostitutes. So let's just get that out there.
Look, let's just go over the top and give a tip for the people that are under 21 trying to get some liquor on, okay? Let's just do that and be done with this whole subject, okay?
Okay.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Go to a restaurant that has a bar and is popular, so like on Fridays you have to wait. Go straight into the bar with a friend that's over 21 and get them to order a drink. They will be ID'd at the bar. They will get their drink. Then say, oh, we're going to sit at a table. Go sit at your table. The underage person takes the drink and sets it in front of them. So they've already, you know, when the waitress comes around, she thinks they've already been ID'd because they've got a beer. And then the over 21 guy says, hey, you know, I changed my mind. I want a beer too. They get ID'd again, and you both have a beer.
You just blew my mind. That is the most intricate plan I've ever heard.
Okay. It worked every time, or at least it used to, like 8 years ago.
All right, here's my advice. Next year at DEF CON, come find me. I will buy you alcohol. Unless you're under 15, I will not buy you alcohol if you're under 15. But any other age, I will hook you up. That's my tip. That's much simpler than whatever you just said. I kind of zoned out after 2 seconds.
Good deal. Mr. Lotak, you have any advice for anybody?
No, I'm going to stay on the legal side of this conversation.
See, technically, this is social engineering. This is something that, like, if I owned a restaurant, I'd want to hear. So I could say, hey, maybe when someone orders a drink, ID them again. You know?
Yeah.
Don't be lazy. Or if you're a policeman, just follow verbal around. Okay, anyway.
Okay, let's move on.
So the quality of talks at DEF CON this year, were they up to normal? I noticed a lot of people were doing, you know, multiple talks.
Yeah, I did notice that too. I'm not sure what the deal with that is, but the quality of talks were definitely higher. Well, let me say this. The topics and kind of technical level of the talks were better than previous years. But then again, you know, like some people are just naturally like better at speaking than others. So like if, you know, someone who happened to do a talk, but if they're kind of like boring or whatever, then that talk wouldn't be as good, obviously. But like kind of the topics that they would talk about was, you know, much better than previous years. And I don't know why that's happening. But, I mean, it's definitely a good thing. You know, for whatever reason, kind of like the right – we're getting the, you know, right number of right people doing talks. And, you know, I definitely hope to see that trend continuing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're at 37 minutes. Good deal. All right.
Wait, what?
We've gotten 37 minutes of the show done.
Okay. Well, you're gonna kick out some stuff, right? Like me talking right now. You're not gonna have that on the show, right?
Oh no, no. We're gonna talk out. We're gonna take out where I called Lotak by his real name.
Okay. And... Right. So I'm just saying, like, we probably have less than 37 minutes of actual time. Okay.
Yeah, there's probably like 15 minutes. Penis.
How long is the show supposed to be anyway?
A little over an hour.
Oh
yeah,
my god.
What I was shooting for, like an hour. So I don't know, like we can, I guess, I don't know, is there anybody else we can call or is it all Mr. Verbal?
Let me see if anyone's online. Because Upside Down was there and he can pin the documentary he's doing.
Get him.
Did he check out this mystery box? I'm interested in this fucking mystery box. That motherfucker sounds cool.
I don't think he did.
Okay.
He is not answering. Should I call him? Oh, wait, he's here. Hey, come on the radio show.
We're not cutting this out.
No, I know, right?
But I have some other filler. We have the Hacker Media site finally ready, and I was going to talk like 10 minutes on it, so.
Okay.
And then we were going to beatbox. All right.
We could just find like a Grateful Dead track that's like 20 minutes long and play that at the end.
Okay, he's up. He's going to call at some point. All right,
sweet.
So what else are we talking about? We did the talks, we did the contest, blah, 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 blah. We should talk about some, like, I don't know, stuff.
I have some questions for you specifically, if that's cool.
Yeah, ask, I mean, it doesn't have to be about that one. Ask me anything. Bring it.
Well, what kind of hacker projects are you working on right now?
Oh, this is a personal interview. All right. Right now, we're doing, actually this would be a good time to pimp Hack Exchange. Okay, right now I'm working on something with a bunch of people from BinRev called HackExchange.com. Originally, it still is a Logos' baby, and I think he kind of got caught up in some stuff, so I offered to take it over. But what it is I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for this, but what it is a cross between MySafe and SourceForge. There, I've said it. It's
awesome.
Kind of like a social networking site, but kind of geared towards hackers and other, like, you know, geeks of whatever kind, like phone freaks or whatever. It's kind of a place for them to find other people to work on projects for and just, you know, kind of do whatever it is that people do on social networking sites. And, you know, a couple of people have signed on, but we can always use more people. Right now, it's kind of on hold for me personally because I'm working on some other stuff. But I'm definitely, you know, it's definitely in my mind, and I'm going to do it. But I just need to find the time. So if anyone wants to help, that would be awesome. So obviously I have 9 to 5. Well, it's more like 10 – 11 to 6. But, you know, I have a job during the day, so, you know, I'm doing that. And I'm actually also doing a startup, and I can't really talk about it, but it's going to be about, like, application programming for phones. So we're just going to write some applications, try to make some money, I guess. What else am I working on? So in addition to all the stuff I said before, I can't talk about what other stuff I'm working on. It's kind of, not legal. No, it's legal, but it's kind of, like, sketchy, you know? Okay, never mind. So.
You're selling drugs on Craigslist.
What?
You're selling drugs on Craigslist.
Yes, on Craigslist and MySpace. Oh, so there's other things. Okay. So we're also doing a, it's what some people want to call the real duck droppers, quote, quote, but Kyle and I are actually just starting a repository of kind of like e-books and other things that people might have. And the interesting part, I mean, the part that, you know, we want to work on is kind of like a textual search. So if you have all these text documents and whatever on a website, then you don't really know what's in there. And that's, you know, that's one of the good things about, like, Google Books and other services like that. So what we want to do is write a textual search on it, and, you know, it'll give us, like, a chance to play with web crawlers and all that junk. So that's something else I'm working on. And I think that's all I'm working on that I can make.
And we're also joined by Mr. Upside Down. And say hi.
Hello.
And he also went to DEF CON, so now we have an equal ratio of goers and non-goers. And so, Mr. Upside, you want to talk about DEF CON for a second? Do you need me to ask you questions?
What was that?
Do you want to just talk on your own, or do you want me to ask you questions?
Oh, I don't know. Questions, I guess, would be good. I don't know.
Did you see any titties?
Did I see what? Any titties?
Any titties, any breasts.
Only ones belonging to men, no females.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you might as well just hang up now.
Oh.
Okay, hold on. Let me rant for 1 second about this. I know people are going to call me an asshole, but so this weekend I was at DEF CON, and 2 weekends ago I was at Comic Con, and in this month, I've seen more male breasts than I ever want to see again in my life. I don't know what I'm, you know, I don't know what I'm saying or, like, if I want people to do something about it. I'm just making the observation. And you know, that's kind of a negative point for me for these conferences. So hopefully next year when I go, there will be less male titty. That's all I'm saying. That's it. I'm done. Thank you so much.
What talks did you go to upside down?
I was actually running around doing a documentary a good amount of the time. So I really just went to Strom's to record that, and that was pretty much it. I didn't go to very many talks at all. I mean, I sat in on I was repairing hard drives, I guess, or rebuilding them, and then that was it. And then I was just running around recording people, so. Yeah.
You're working on a documentary?
Well, that, yeah. I was making a documentary about DEF CON itself, so. Yeah.
Well, why don't you talk for a minute about that?
Well, wait, what should I talk about that?
Does it document, like, all DEF CONs or just this one, or have you ever made a documentary before?
I helped film a documentary before this, and then this is the only one that I've actually set out to do myself and do all the editing and everything. But it was just covering DEF CON, just to show what it is. And, I mean, I interviewed Stank Dog, I interviewed Verbal, we interviewed people that were doing Capture the Flag. What else? We interviewed, like, a bunch of people, but, oh, yeah, I interviewed Dark Tangent, too. And so we got a lot of interviews down, but it was kind of a bitch recording it there because you can't really record any groups of people or anything. You can't have anyone walk in the background when you're recording. They'll kick you out. So, yeah, we were just running around I was trying to run around to finish that up, but.
Upside down. I saw people with cameras, like, just filming. Like, I don't know if that's, like, the official DEF CON video or what, because there are definitely people filming all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be some way around it, because, like, it doesn't make any sense that you can't, like, have those people in your shots. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean...
Oh, go ahead.
No, because I was just saying, I mean... You know, there have been, like, documentaries and other, like, videos of, like, real things and, like, people and, like, crowds of people, and I'm sure they didn't get... So I don't know what the deal is, but, you know, we should really look into how we can get around that for next year or, like, if we choose to do another video.
Yeah, well, what happened is when I was, they sent me the press guidelines when they told me I could do the documentary, like DEF CON itself, like the press people sent me the press guidelines, and in it said you can't film groups of people. And then when I picked up my badge, they told me don't film groups of people, don't film any feds, don't film any hackers, you know, like they'll be in the background and they don't want to be, and this whole mess. And then I ran into Zink also, it was one of the goons, and he said that I guess they had to chase some guy down because he went to Capture the Flag and tried to take a panning shot of the entire arena, and they had to chase him down to get the tape back and this whole mess, though. So.
Now, is it just the people's faces that you can't have, or, like, even if you have some guy's elbow, that's no good?
I think you can get elbows and stuff. That's fine. It's just so they're not recognizable. So.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, because I was thinking, like, maybe if, you know, like, those rooms are pretty dark anyway. So if you had, like, you know, some sort of just, like, sweep shot and, like, blur out whoever you can actually make out a face with. But I guess they can't take that chance and have people
wandering
around with cameras.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting
because
you can walk around with a film camera.
Yeah, right? Like
a still camera and just take all the pictures you want and put them up on Flickr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but I think the point is that if you have a camcorder and you know, you like go and say, here, I'm doing a documentary, and you have like a press pass and everything, that they assume it's going to go somewhere like public and not in like a private collection. So there's probably something like wrong with that if you like air it on TV or like release it to the public or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, when are you releasing this documentary?
I have to start editing, so I'm hoping to edit and finish it by, like, before September. So hopefully I'll have it out before September sometime.
But,
and are you releasing this as a DVD or as a web download or?
I'm gonna put it online. I think I might be submitting it to current.tv where people can vote on it and it goes up, and then if it actually makes it to the top, it airs on TV. They basically buy the rights for me though, so I'm gonna spread it online before I do that. So.
Well, I know this guy that runs this Hacker Media website, and he can definitely have it put up on that.
Spread it everywhere.
You probably shouldn't have said that before actually doing it.
And it's going to be released under like a Creative Commons share alike kind of deal?
Yeah, I guess awesome. So. I mean, until the place buys the rights for me, if I submit it to them, and then, I don't know.
Well, maybe you know more about this than I do, but as an example, which is one of the rare examples of this, like Jason Scott's documentary about the BBSs, like he sells that, and it's also released under Creative Commons because he owns all the rights to it and he can do what he wants, but he also is putting all the footage up on archive.org that he shot. Like, let's say this current TV buys the rights of it from you. Is that buying the rights of, like, all the video you shot or just how you edited that video together? So could you release all your raw video compilation of it?
I'm not sure about that. That actually sounds like that might work. Because they're buying the video that I edited and they're piecing it together. So, I mean, they're taking it and then just doing whatever they're doing to it with adding credits and everything. But I think I could probably release the raw footage, yeah.
You should ask Jason Scott. Jason Scott,
you know,
if you're listening, call us. We need to talk.
You know what's actually really funny is I was drunk on Saturday night, I think, and I see this guy with a Segway. And so I asked him if I could ride it, and I started riding that around and around. Then I got off, asked him again if I could ride it, and I'm having fun because I'm drunk and this thing's just moving me around. I get off again, and I look at him. I'm like, you look really familiar, and he goes, oh, I'm Jason Scott of Texas.com, and it's just really funny, and took a picture with him and everything.
Did he have a really crazy shirt on?
No, I have a picture with him. He's just a regular black shirt, I think.
Okay. He's usually a lot more noticeable with his crazy shirtness.
Well, good deal, man. You're making a documentary on DEF CON, and you're putting it up for everyone to watch.
Yep.
Good deal.
I got to get around to editing that. So.
So now, when I went, they gave me a CD of all the talks that people had given, you know, the presentations.
Yeah.
And didn't have everything on it, but it had a bunch of them. And they gave those out this year, I assume.
Oh, what was that? Sorry.
They did give it out this year.
Yeah, they gave them out. Yeah, I haven't taken a look at it yet, but yeah, they passed those out. So
I was actually looking for Dan Kaminsky's talk, the Black Ops talk. I could not find it. I don't know where it is. It might be on this website or something, but on the CD, it's organized by last name of the speaker, and his name is definitely not on here. So I think there might be some materials missing. Like if someone didn't, you know, put his slides up in time before they made the CD, then it might not be. But most of the slides from the talk should be here. So we'll definitely put that up for anyone, you know, who were interested in some of the talks that either I mentioned or if they just, like, looked at the schedule and want to check some stuff out, they can download it.
Yeah, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes, hopefully. And as soon as we have a place for it, I'll put a link on the infonomicon.org site to wherever that is so people can find it.
Actually, if I can interrupt and segue for a little bit, I have something I noticed, I guess, between 2 years ago and, you know, these past 2 years. And Upside Down, you said you went to DEF CON like on 2000 or something?
It was DEF CON 10. I think it was 2002.
Okay. So maybe you can back me up. But so up until 2 years ago, I think the the girl to guy ratio was like probably 99.5, you know, to, well, that's not a ratio. That's just kind of 99 to 1. And the last 2 years, there have definitely been more women at DEF CON. And I don't know if that's just me or if you're actually noticing that too.
Yeah, I think I noticed that also. But the thing is that I actually said this right when I got there, and it slowly came true as I was going along, but or at least I thought it was. It was about like 70. And then for the other 25%, like, I don't know. It seemed like that to me, at least.
Well, what I was talking about is that it's just nice to see more women getting into
right.
Well, technology.
My mind's going in a different direction. So.
somebody's not.
There are more women like presenting at DEF CON and at Black Hat also. You know, from what I've seen, and I guess, you know, I'm just saying, I hope that continues just because, you know, I think we, for some reason, there's always been like kind of an imaginary block or like a stigma with, you know, with women and getting into technology. And so I'm just saying it's good to see that kind of breaking down.
The next thing that we have to work on is getting girls on camera. Because they were very shy about
it. Yes. Okay, I'm calling out all the girls who went to DEF CON. We asked about 3 to 4 or maybe even more girls to be on camera to be interviewed because we wanted a female's perspective, and none of them would do it. Everyone said they were camera shy. What is up with that?
Yeah.
I mean, guys, I think, were supposed to be more camera shy, or at least the geeky ones. And I don't know what's going on, but next year I expect to at least interview 2 women who are, you know, at DEF CON doing whatever.
That's definitely a good goal.
And Drew's,
if you need me to,
year,
I'll dress up like a girl.
Drew's, next year you're going to go to Vegas and you're going to bring Mrs. Drew's and we're going to interview her. So you can tell her that now.
Awesome. I will start prepping her for that. Yeah, I don't know how much conversation we had to have to get her to help me with the Economicon TV that one time.
Really? Tell her she's an icon in the community. She's like, you know, so like a myth and a legend. Droops' wife. Everyone was asking where Droops' wife was.
That's awesome.
It is. Awesome. I mean, I was so sad to have to tell them that you guys weren't there. It just broke my heart.
Oh, Lordy. My wife's the icon.
You should be
Lordy.
Proud. Come on. What are you thinking?
I'm very excited about it. I try to bring it up in every conversation that I have.
Yes. Perhaps you've met my wife.
Perhaps you've met my wife. She was the hottest girl there, you know.
you know how I do.
That's how I roll. Well, hey, Mr. Lotte, do you think we have enough time-wise?
On time, we're running at right around 45 to 50 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. We might need some more stuff.
Yeah, I think we need to talk for a little while.
Was there any email for this show? Are you gonna miss with email?
I don't know. I haven't gotten in touch with Black Ratchet enough to get the emails.
All right. Well, then we should probably talk for, I guess, 15 more minutes.
All right.
All right.
Okay. There's gonna be.
Ask me anything, or ask Upside Down anything.
Yep.
So Upside Down, you have done a documentary before. You did the filming, and now you're doing one. Like, are you a computer guy, a phone guy, or just interested in the scene? What's up with you?
I'm more of a computer guy, and then recently I just kind of got into the whole film thing, and then I haven't been really reading up on anything online, so I'm kind of just like flowing with the scene and all that, but I don't know. I need to read up on stuff because I'm falling behind.
We all need to read up on stuff, I think. It doesn't matter how smart you are, there's always more stuff to learn.
Right.
I'm trying to think of questions. More dead air. I'm going to have to do a lot of editing. Sorry.
Good thing this show isn't live, huh? Actually, if you don't mind, I have something I would like to talk about for maybe 3 to 5 minutes.
Go for it, big guy.
Okay. This other project, well, it's not really a project yet, but an idea that I've been throwing around with Spank is that I want to do a VinRev mentorship program. And, I mean, the way it works is we would have people sign up to be mentors, and you would kind of, like, list your skill set and, like, the time you have available to mentor someone. And because, you know, I see a lot of people on the channel always asking stuff, you know, people who want to learn about this and that. And I thought it'd be a good idea, you know, to get some of the more experienced people involved and kind of guide the other people to learn whatever it is they want to learn. So once we get a list of mentors and people who are willing to devote their time to this, then we can have people start applying and, like, signing up for stuff. And, you know, I talked to Spank, and he thought it was a good idea. But the problem is, I guess, the execution, because you have to, you know, get people to do it, first of all. And then once you pair them up, you have to kind of make sure that, you know, one guy isn't wasting someone else's time or vice versa. So if you guys, you know, out there are interested in something like this, or you want to be a mentor, or you want to get mentored, you know, send me an email and kind of just give me some feedback so I know what people are thinking, because I would really like to start that up, you know, whenever possible. And my email is verbal@gmail.com, easy enough to remember. So just kind of give me whatever feedback. You know, if you want to tell me it's a dumb idea and I suck or whatever, that's fine too. But, you know, just send some email and let me know what you think.
I think that's a great idea. You know, there's been talk about doing stuff like that. But, like, that would, you know, that would be awesome to have somebody that was always there to help you with something specific like that.
Yeah.
So when you got stuck, you didn't have to waste all your time trying to figure out an answer.
Right, because the thing is, like, if you have someone responsible for you, that's much easier than, like, if you don't know anything, you know, like, if you have a question and you don't really know, like, a specific person, and you just kind of go on the channel, it's hit or miss, right? So if you kind of have someone who's like, okay, he's my responsibility, he or she, and, you know, so you can just email and contact them directly. Like, that would just make the process so much easier and faster, I think. You know, like, I think that maybe it's a good idea, but, you know, it's the execution that's the problem.
Well, that would also be a really good motivational factor. Like, I'm really bad about self-motivation. You know, if I had my druthers, I'd just sit and watch YouTube all day. But when I have somebody, like, depending on me or checking up on me, I can actually get stuff done.
Right.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, when we have enough kind of support and interest in it, I'm just going to, I mean, you know, it definitely takes, like, no work on my part, because I'm just going to throw up a web page and be like, sign up, and then the only thing I have to do is match people up and kind of, like, check in with them once in a while to see what they're doing and, you know, to make sure, like, things are actually happening, you know, so it takes none of my time. We just need participation from the community, so.
Well, that's going to be a big theme of next week's show as kind of a little teaser, is participation from the community. And while I have the three of y'all captive, I'd like to start a different conversation, and I want to talk about the Hacker Media website for a second. I don't know if y'all read in the forums. I'm trying to get a good definition of what needs to be considered hacker media for us to put on the site. And I'm trying not to be the guy that says, this is how it is, and I want to get opinions from the community. But the way my personal view of the whole thing is hacker media should be stuff like BinRev and, you know, Ninja Night School or whatever shows you have, Gamer Radio, things like that, and the commercial stuff like Make Magazine, which is freaking cool, and they have the coolest shit, shouldn't be on the hacker media site because they're a commercial entity and they pay for advertising and they pay for stuff like that and they, you know, have advertising and such like that. And I don't want to have their ads on a site that I'm paying for that I don't have, you know, ads on. I don't think hacker media should be about making the money. I think it should be about, you know, sharing the information. Like Iron Geek has ads on his site. And I'm not going to say he's not hacker media because he's doing it because he loves doing it. It's not because he's getting like a fat paycheck for it. What are y'all's views on stuff like this?
So is the question what should be on the hacker media website?
Yeah, like Security Now has advertising in their RSS feed. And if y'all haven't seen the new site, it's completely RSS driven. So no one has to log in and upload a show.
Oh, okay. So do you mean just like in terms of whether we should have, whether you should have advertising or like the content of the shows that you put on hacker media?
Well, like, let's take Ninja Night School, for example. It's not technical content at all, but it's really interesting to, you know, like the mindset. Low Tech Mystic's not making money off of it. He's doing it because he loves doing it and sharing, you know, trying to open people's minds up. And I think that's
right.
Hacker media.
So, I mean, this is kind of, you know, what I think, and it might be too broad or loose for some people. But it's like, you know, hacker media, obviously, you know, the name defines what it is. And it kind of comes back to the question, like, what do we consider to, you know, related to hacking? You know, so obviously some people will be like, blah, blah. But at the same time, you know, like, for example, even if you go to DEF CON, you see a lot of things that are not kind of related directly to hacking, like lock picking. And, you know, like, for example, what if someone wants to do a podcast on, you know, lock picking? Like, are you going to tell them no? So I think that, you know, if it were me, I would kind of let, you know, all the shows that are in the, like you said, in the same mindset, same hacker mindset, you know, whether it is non-technical or not, but, you know, just have it be in there because it's the same mentality and it's like the same group of people who do these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And as for ads or not, like, it's cool if you can keep doing this, you know, having no ads and all that annoying stuff. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, putting up a site and running it requires time and money. So I think that if, you know, if you need to have ads to keep the site open, then you should do it. Like, you know, first whatever.
But if it's your job, it's totally different. If you have a business, and that's one of the things you produce in your business, is something that's interesting to hackers. It's not really hacker media because that's your business now. It's not the love of it. Like if the Linux Link Tech Show got a sponsor and every show they opened with, you know, we're sponsored by Jimbo's Computer Store, that's cool because it's still four guys in a basement doing a show about Linux. And it's not because they're getting paid to do it. It's because they love Linux and they love promoting it and talking about it.
Right. Well,
I mean, that would be considered hacker media.
Right. Like, for you, like, you know, I know that you're doing it because you love it and you want to kind of put something out for the community. So I think that, you know, if you needed to put ads on hacker media for whatever reason, you know, I personally think it'd be okay. And I think all your listeners, you know, to all the hacker media shows would understand too. And, you know, if they don't, then, like, I say, fuck it. Do what you
need
to do.
Well, I'm
going to
try to keep ads off the site because
right.
I don't want to make money off of other people's work.
Right, right.
But if I had the show, like if I brought back Infonomicon Radio and had ads on that site, that would be okay because that's paying for the site.
Right.
Okay. What about you, Upside Down?
I agree with everything that Verbal just said and that you said, and I totally understand what you're saying about the whole, if they go mainstream in their business, like, that's just,
yeah.
You know, it kind of just moves away from the scene if you think about it. I mean, I don't know, because right, just like you were saying, people are doing it because they love doing it, not because they're getting paid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, that's how I think it should be. I mean, everything you guys just said was totally on, so.
Well, as soon as the Stinky Dog sets up the DNS port, which he went to bed before he did it tonight because he was sleepy from DEF CON, and the new Hacker Media site will be up. Mr. Yelsab actually did all the work. I've just been really busy and slow, and I apologize to everyone for not having the new stuff up. But if you want to see it right now, you can go to binrev.com/HMedia, and you can see the new site. It's really freaking slick. And hopefully everyone will be good in their RSS feeds and not screw with it, because it's completely driven off of that. So you always have the latest information. And there's no more comments on the website, maybe. And we're trying to direct all that to the BinRev forums, where we have a whole bunch more people and a captive audience kind of to discuss the shows. And if anybody wants to be on Hacker Media, just contact me. It's droops@gmail.com for right now. We're going to set up one for the admin at Hacker Media. But tell me and we'll put it up there. And you don't have to be technical content. You just have to be something that's hackery. I don't know, is that a middle word?
I just made up a new word.
Sweet. And I think that's probably going to be a show for right now. Is that good, Mr. Lotek?
Yeah, we're there on time.
Anybody want to make any shouts?
You should change the Hacker Media slogan to All Things Hackery.
I will do that tonight.
All right. Yeah, shouts. I just want to give a shout to Tom and Tio, because if I don't, they'll probably kill me. And Tom also wanted me to say that he's starting a campaign for a donation fund, you know, for him to go to DEF CON next year, because he lives in Norway, and it takes him, like, you know, like $3 million and, like, 10 days to come to Las Vegas from there.
In a steamship.
Yeah. Actually, he's going to have to take a spaceship to the new moon base and then get the transit from there to California.
I was at the moon base last month. It's really nice. They finished up the construction.
Really? Did they finish the new floor?
The floor is exquisite, and the ceilings. I got pictures. I'll email them to you.
Do they have the carbonation and the Coke machines right?
It's getting there. It's getting there.
Put them on the site. I would love to see it. Yeah, I'm scheduled to go up like 6 months myself. Good times.
What's interesting about the moon base, or this whatever, is that it's actually completely run on Apple computers.
It's
crazy.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Wait, what? What's wrong on Apple computers?
No, I love an Apple computer.
What are you talking about? I'm so confused.
You just have to listen to the show to figure it out. How about you, Upside Down?
Shouts?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'd like to give a shout to MC Router from Leet Geek Beat for letting me use their music in the documentary, which I'll be doing soon, and just everyone who helped and allowed me to film them. So that's pretty much it.
Awesome. What about you, Mr. Lotek?
I just want to give shouts to Bitbiter and all my buddies that I met last month down at the moon base. You know, rocking times.
Sweet. I want to say a special thank you to Mr. Yelsab for doing a kick-ass job on the Hacker Media site. I can't say it enough. It's awesome. And if you peruse the HTML code and the PHP and whatever, he wrote all that by hand. Like, I just edited a tiny little fraction, but, like, he is hardcore. It's awesome. And if you look in it, you'll find a reference to another website that's going to be announced next week that we're currently working on, kind of a sister site for Hacker Media. And I want to say thank you to Mr. Petrillo for doing Twat Radio for so long and making sure it was up every day. And to Mr. Enigma, I hope you can do as good of a job as he did and for taking over on Twat on the show. I really appreciate it. We're kind of in a bind, and y'all both came to the rescue and did a wonderful job on the show.
No problem.
Good deal.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to be on every week from now on. Don't worry.
Nice. I'll be looking forward to that. Just no live shows.
Okay. Yeah. It actually took us 3 hours to record this.
Oh, wow. So. Did it?
No. Anyway, well, I think that's a good night from all of us here at Binary Revolution Radio. And why don't you two do the closing?
Okay, we'll see you again next time. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
And our closing music tonight is the Spin Doctors singing Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. And I know you're saying, oh, no, that's not independent media or whatever. But it's actually up on archive.org. It's recorded from a live show. And there's lots of really good stuff you can find on archive.org.
The bitch left town. I've been a whole lot happier without a missing line.
Upside down
in the closing.
Yep. Wait, what's up? Do the closing, for the love of God.
How does the beginning start?
We'll see you next time. Same hack time.
And then you say same hack channel?
Okay. Do you even listen to the show?
Yeah, dude, I listened to that. I just haven't listened to it in a little while, like maybe 2 weeks
okay.
or something.
You are cool.
Okay.
We'll see you again next time. Wait,
are you doing it or am I doing
it? How are
you doing this? Wait, am I doing the beginning or are you doing the beginning?
Oh, my God.
Upside down, you start.
Okay. We'll see you next
time. Okay, bring it back. Bring it back.
Okay.
Okay, okay. I'll start. Okay. I'm ready.
Okay. All right. We'll see you next
question. Oh, my God. You're wasting so much tape.
Okay. Okay. Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay.